Boys and girls, I'm happy to be with you today. And I'm glad that a number of you are seated here close to the front. Even if you're not, though, you can pay close attention, can't you? You can help us with our singing and maybe even answer some questions when I ask them of you. We're talking today about why we believe the Bible. How many of you know what the Bible is? What is the Bible?
Book that you should read.
All right, that's a good answer. Why should we read it? Why should we read it?
Because it's the Word of God.
It's the Word of God. When we say that it's the Word of God, we mean that these are words that God has spoken, don't we? God has spoken these words. Now, let's reach back to yesterday's lesson. Do you remember yesterday's lesson? I believe in God because. You remember that? You remember Mr. Keith talking to you about some of the reasons for believing in God? All right. We're going to talk today about what God has done in His Word, the Bible. And it's because God does exist. It's because we believe in God that we can take the Bible, read it, study it, and obey it. So let's remember that. But today we're especially talking about why we believe the Bible to be God's Word. There are a lot of things said in the material in the outline book that I won't be dealing with these boys and girls. But that material is there for the rest of us. And I would recommend, of course, that we think about it, reflect upon it from time to time. First of all, boys and girls, let's think about God Himself. Since God is the giver of the Bible, isn't He? God is the one who gave us the Bible. If you turn to the Bible, it's like a library. You know what a library is like? Have you been to a library before? When you go to the library, what do you see there on the shelves? Books, don't you? Still see books, even in the day of computers. You still see books. Well, when you open the Bible, do you know what you find? Books. It's just like those shelves back there. Has books. Each shelf there has books on it, doesn't it? All right. The Bible has books in it. How many of you can tell me how many books there are in the Bible? 66, that's right. How many of those are back in the Old Testament section? Can you tell me that?
39.
39. Well, how many does that leave in the New Testament part? 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. Now, let's just teach a brief lesson. Which part do we live under today? The New Testament, that's right. That doesn't mean the Old Testament's not important. It's very important. Without the Old Testament and the things that happened back there, did you know there never would have been a New Testament? That's exactly the way it was, you see. If God hadn't done those things back there for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, have you heard of those men before? Or David? Have you heard of him? If God hadn't done those things with those people back there, there never would have been a Jesus Christ, would there? And by the way, Jesus lived and died under the Old Testament period. Did you know that? The Old Testament was still in effect. The Old Testament law when Jesus lived and died. But the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of His apostles are found where, George?
New Testament.
In the New Testament. You see, if you don't see a hand, you can always let George do it. All right. I've been teasing him this week about letting George do it. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, 66 books, a lot of different writers. Moses, David, Jeremiah,
Malachi,
Matthew. Who comes after Matthew, by the way? You just say it with me. Matthew and then
Mark,
Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four men, all writing about the same person. Do you know who they were writing about? Jesus. That's right. Jesus Christ. And then we come to the next book after John. What's that?
Acts.
Who was Acts? Thought about that? Who was Acts? Well, that wasn't a person, was it? But the book of Acts is very important. It's a very important book in the Bible library. Did you know that the book of Acts begins right where the other four books just before it end? And that's especially true of the book of Luke. Luke is the writer of Luke, and he's also the writer of Acts. Did you know that? He is. Where he stopped at the end of Luke, he started right there with the ascension of Jesus Christ. He's going back from earth back up to heaven. He started with that right in the beginning of the book of Acts. So you see, even though Acts was not a person, it's a very important book. Now, God has seen to it that we have the Bible just like we need it. Just like He knew we needed it. Do you know why God was able to know what we needed and give us the Bible to meet those needs? Well, I want to tell you why. It's because God made us. God made us. If you go out in the yard and you make a sand castle out there, or you make something else in the dirt, or you build something with wood, when you've built it, you know what it's for, don't you? You know how to use it, don't you? If your little brother or your little sister comes out there and starts to pick it up and throw it down, you say, "No! It's not made to be used that way. It can't take that kind of treatment, can it?" But you know, because you did what? You built it. You made it. Who made us? God did. And because He made us, He knows what we need, doesn't He? He knows what we are because He made us that way, you see. And He made the Bible just like it needs to be. For you and for me and for every other person. Back there in Genesis chapter 1, God made the heavens and the earth, didn't He? God made the world. God made the plants. God made the animals. And God made human beings. But do you know how human beings are different from everything else that God made? The Bible tells us this information, you see. The Bible tells us what we need to know, even about ourselves. How are human beings different from the plants and from the animals? That's right. We have a soul, don't we? Did you know the Bible tells us that? God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." When God made Adam, He didn't make just another butterfly or cockroach or bacteria. Or even a beautiful rose. He made somebody more valuable than even the beautiful rose. He made somebody like Himself. Like God, that is. He gave Adam and Eve what they needed to worship and to serve God. Now, He didn't make other things able to do that in the way that he made Adam and Eve. I understand. Oh, yes. Everything that exists brings honor to God. That's why the Old Testament talks in those very ways. It says, let everything that has breath praise the name of the Lord. Even the birds that fly in the sky. Did you know that when they fly, and when they have young birds, and when they gather the food for their young ones and come and put it in their beaks, did you know that those birds are praising God? Now, they're not singing a song of praise, but they're praising God. What do I mean when I say they're praising God? I mean that they're doing exactly what God made them to do. And when they do that, they're honoring God, aren't they? But they're not choosing to do it. When you and I honor God, when we praise God, we do it because we what? We choose to do it. We want to do it. The birds do it because they have to. The worms do it because they're worms. The flies. The roses. Even the dandelions. All of those do what they do because that's the only thing they can do. God made them that way. But God gave you and me the power to choose. What's it mean to choose? Alright. I give you a chocolate ice cream cone and a strawberry ice cream cone. And I say, choose. I bet you know what it means then. What's it mean, Samuel? That's right. You can pick the one you want. That's right. Well, God gave us the power to choose. We can choose to please Him, that is to obey Him, to honor Him, to worship Him. Or we can choose to displease Him, to disobey Him, not to honor Him, not to worship Him. God made us that way. And so you see, when a person chooses to obey God, he's choosing the good part, isn't he? He's choosing the most important thing that he can do. And that's really worship. That's true worship. That's true praise. Because you're doing it because you want to. Do you want to sing a song? Well, Ethan's going to lead us in a song. And he's going to lead us in the song, There Is a God, inside the back cover.
Let us sing. There is a God.
And we survive
from the sorrow.
See me not singing some of the time, that's because it's really making me cough. I'm having trouble the last couple of days with some congestion down here, and the more I cough, the more irritated it gets. So I'm just trying to keep my voice so I can talk to you. It's not that I don't want to sing. I do. I really enjoy singing. But let's remember now. We have the Bible because there is a God. If there were no God, we wouldn't have the Bible. Now, I'm going to prove that to you. I'm going to give you some reason so that you will know that the Bible had to come from God. In the first place, I would tell you this. No human being could have written the Bible, because the Bible condemns man. Did you know that the Bible shows man's weaknesses? It shows his dark side. It shows things about him that are not good, things that are bad. It shows, for instance, about Adam and Eve disobeying God, doesn't it? And it shows things like the wicked people in Noah's time. And that caused God to send a what?
A flood.
Well, all the way through the Bible, man's bad part shows through. Now, when we write things about ourselves, we don't like to write the bad, do we? We like to write the good, don't we? Human beings didn't write the Bible. They wouldn't have written all those bad things about themselves. And I'll tell you another reason. Human beings could not have written the Bible, because the Bible tells us things that no human being could have ever known. No human being could have ever described God as the glorious and great God that He is, pictured on the pages of the Old Testament and the New Testament. No human being could have ever thought up the life of Jesus Christ, our perfect, our sinless Savior. The only thing that human beings could have done, if they were going to describe Jesus, is describe Him like themselves. And they wouldn't have described a sinless person then, would they? If they were talking about themselves or basing it on themselves. So you see, human beings couldn't have written the Bible. And human beings wouldn't have written the Bible. They couldn't do it because they couldn't have dreamed up such a majestic person, such a glorious one as Jesus Christ our Savior. And they wouldn't have written the Bible because the Bible tells their bad parts, their bad things, their sins. And so for these reasons, we know that the Bible is not from man, but is from whom? It's from God, isn't it? But I want to tell you another reason for believing that God has given us the Bible. Did you know that whenever God has spoken to human beings, back through history, He's always confirmed His message to those people? Think about the time that He spoke to Moses. Do you remember the time that He called Moses? Moses was 80 years old. And God had a job for Moses to do. Do you remember that time that God appeared to Moses? How did He appear to him? In a burning bush. That's right. You can read about that back in Exodus chapter 3. But God wasn't doing that just to make Moses is having an interesting day. That wasn't the reason for it. He had a message for Moses. He said, Moses, I'm the God of your father. And then he took it back even farther. He said, I'm the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Now here was this miraculous appearance of God in that bush. Now, it's not a miracle for a bush to be on fire, but this was a miraculous occasion because this bush was different. What was there about this bush that made it a miraculous thing? Samuel? That's right. It just kept on burning, didn't it? God was using that to get Moses' attention and to prove to him that God was the one speaking. Now you think about that. Whenever God made major announcements to people, like that one to Moses, he confirmed it. He proved it with miracles. And he gave Moses a job. He said, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt. And that wasn't far from where Moses was at the time, not too far away. He said, I want you to go down to Egypt and I want you to talk to the king. What was the king called down there in Egypt? Can you tell me? What was the king called?
Pharaoh.
That's right. Every king of Egypt during those days was called the Pharaoh. Pharaoh wasn't his name that mother and daddy gave him when he was born. Pharaoh was something like president or governor. It told the office he held. But he said, I want you to go to the Pharaoh of Egypt and I want you to give him a special message. You tell him to let my people go free. Who were God's people that were already there in the country of Egypt at that time?
The Egyptians.
No, the Egyptians lived there, but the Israelites, that's right. The Israelites, you know, they'd come down there because of a famine many years earlier. They'd come down there. And that's a wonderful story in itself because it tells us how God was providing for His people. God sent somebody ahead of them to sort of pave the road for them, make it easy for them when they got there. You know who that was that God sent ahead of them? Joseph. Now the road wasn't easy for Joseph. I didn't say the road was easy for him. It was sort of hard for him, wasn't it? He got down there because his brothers hated him. They envied him. They sold him. Just think about that. That's not the way you want to treat your brother, is it? Or your sister. But that's the way they treated Joseph. But you know what? God was using Joseph. When he got down there, Joseph rose in position. He rose in importance. He came to a position there in the country so that he was able to be in charge of getting the food all stored up. God was behind that because God knew that there's going to be a what? A famine. And he knew that there'd then be food for his people. You see, he wanted his people to survive, didn't he? Because his people were the ones on whom God's promises depended. God had made some promises. Oh, I wish I had time to go into all of that, but I don't. Promises that God had made back there to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But all of those promises depended on those people surviving. Those people living. That's the way God had arranged it. And so God was making it possible for them to be alive, wasn't He? He was using Joseph for that very purpose. And then they're down there. They've been there a few hundred years. And the Bible says God wants them to go free. God has heard their call, their cry. They cried out for deliverance. And God's going to deliver them. This tells us something, boys and girls. This tells us that the God who made the world and the God who made us, human beings that is, had plans for all human beings. He was going to bring somebody to the earth later on. Do you know who that somebody was? The most important person in all of history would come to the earth. And he'd made the promise back earlier of his coming. Jesus Christ. That's right. All right. When God was preserving the Israelites from extinction, not just now, but at a later time as well, he's making it possible for the Savior to come to the earth. You see, God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? He's in charge, isn't he? Oh, what wisdom! Oh, what power! Oh, what love! I believe we know a song about that, don't we? God is so good. Let's sing that song.
God is so good. God is so
said God used miracles to prove his message, to prove that the message was truly from him. He did that in the time of Jesus too, didn't he? That's why we can say Jesus is real. He's not just somebody we've dreamed about. He's not just somebody we've dreamed up. He's real. Did you know he was really born into this world? Who were his parents? Who was his mother?
Mary.
Mary. That's right. And you know, he didn't have an earthly father as far as his birth was concerned, did he? He was born as a result of a miracle. Now, he had an earthly father that took care of him and trained him and so forth. His name was what? Joseph. But then when Jesus started his ministry here on earth, God caused him to work miracles. He had the power to work miracles to prove that he was the one that he claimed to be. How many of you can tell me some miracles besides the way that he came into the world? How many of you can tell me some other miracles that he worked to prove that he was truly God's messenger and that he was telling the truth when he said, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Messiah promised back in the Old Testament. What's a miracle he worked?
He could make people alive from the dead.
That's right. He could raise people from the dead. He raised three different people while he was here on this earth. Three different ones. What else did he do?
He
all right. He made a blind man to see.
He fed
4,000, and on one occasion he fed 5,000, didn't he? That's right. Could Jesus walk on the water? You and I can't do that. That law of gravity, when I try to walk out there on top of the water, it just pulls me right down. But you know what? Jesus is the one who made the law of gravity. He's the one who started that all. Did you know he was back there at the time of creation? He was. He made it all. Well, if he can make it, doesn't he have more power than it has? And so he can walk on the water, can't he? And then he arose from the dead, didn't he? He arose from the dead. What was God doing? God was declaring to all people, this is my son. You're to listen to him. He's special. He's more special than anybody that's ever been here. He's more special than Moses. Now, Moses had an important job to do. But Moses finished his job. John the Baptist had an important job to do. He introduced Jesus to the people. He said, here's the one that the Old Testament prophets have been talking about. He's the one that was coming. But John finished his work. But Jesus' work is a work that continues to go on even till the end of time. Now, he finished his earthly work. But did you know he's still working? He's still at God's right hand. He's still king. He's still Savior. He's still our great high priest. He's still saving people from their sins. He's still adding the saved to the church. Jesus is still interested in people. You see, his work is not finished, is it? But God used miracles to prove that Jesus is real. Let's sing that song again.
Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He's so real to me.
Now, where do we read about all of this? In the Bible. In the Bible, the book that God has given us. Did you know that when we open the Bible, we start reading about ourselves? Did you know that? It doesn't matter where you read in the Bible. You can read about yourself. The Bible's like a mirror. What's a mirror for? What's a mirror for?
To look at yourself.
To look at yourself. I looked in the mirror this morning. I didn't like what I saw. But I looked. Because there are a few things I can do. I have so much hair. There are a few things I can do to make myself look a little better. If I have a smudge over here, I can wash it off, can't I? And I've got egg around my mouth. I can take care of that. But you know what? God's Word is a mirror. God's Word shows me what I'm like. And even when I read about Adam and Eve, did you know that there are things back there that remind me of myself? The people in the days of Noah, Abraham, Job, David, Jeremiah, Old Testament characters who lived under a different law. But there are things about them that cause me to think about myself. That's what the Bible's for. The Bible's written for people who need it. And that's you and me, isn't it? When I read about Jesus Christ, even that makes me think of myself. There are things about Jesus that I never will be able to do. I never will be able to raise the dead. But I'll tell you what. There are things about Jesus that I need to be trying to do. Serving God as completely as He did. Loving God as completely as He loved Him. Loving my fellow man. Loving my neighbor as myself. Like He did. Did you know the Bible is all for you and for me? Now, that doesn't mean that every section of it, every system of laws, for instance, is for us in our day. I don't mean that. But I mean that when we read the Bible, we're reading about people like us, aren't we? We're reading things that fit us in many cases. Here's my point. The Bible is that way because God knew exactly the people he was dealing with, the people he was writing for. And he knew that because he made us, didn't he? All right, there's another song I think of that I think would fit right in. Oh, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand with Christ on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Oh, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I'll read and study and then obey, the B-I-B-L-E. I think we have different tunes, but that's all right. Same words. Same words. I'm from a different part of the country, you see. We sing it the better way down there. Oh. Did you know that the Bible fits us just like a hand fits a glove? Have you ever tried to put a glove on your hand that didn't fit? How many of you ever took the left glove and put it on the right hand? It just won't work, will it? But the Bible works. The Bible fits. It fits every need we have. There's not any spiritual need we have, boys and girls, that the Bible does not meet. Oh, how wonderful it is. And that's because of the wonderful God who made us. And the wonderful God who gave us the Bible. He knew what he was doing. He didn't just guess about it. Why, you think, if human beings had started writing the Bible, even if a group of them got together to write it, what a mess they'd make. If I ask all of you to go home tonight and write a story about what I did this morning, I'm sure that there'd be quite a bit of variety. Some of you might write some things that didn't happen. Some of you might write some extra things, that is. But you know what? When we read the Bible, we read a book that has agreement. There are no problems of disagreement in the Bible. Let me illustrate that. We said earlier that four men wrote about the life of our Lord. Who were those four now again? That's, say them with me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you turn to the book of Matthew, you'll read some things about Jesus' birth that you don't find in Mark or Luke or John. So I don't mean that every writer tells exactly the same details. That's not the way it is. You'll find some different things. And then over in Luke, you'll find some different things from Matthew. But do you know what? When you put those two accounts together, they work. They fit together. There's no problem with their fitting together. It's sort of like seeing a wreck out here. Let's go outside the building in a little while and we see two cars collide right over here in front of Stewart's store. One car is coming out of the parking lot, another one's going into the parking lot. And at the same time, one's coming down the road. One is green, one's red, and one's yellow. Been a long time since you've seen a yellow car, isn't it? There are a few around, though, still. And when that car starts to pull out of the parking lot, and that car starts to come into the parking lot, the car that's coming down the road hits both of them. Now, have four different people tell about that wreck. They speak to the news reporter. And one of them says, well, this car was going into the parking lot and this car was coming out of the parking lot. And there was just a terrible wreck, but he never gets around to telling about the car coming down the road that hit them. He's not complete, is he? He's not telling everything. That doesn't mean he's trying to hide anything. But he's just not telling everything. Somebody else that speaks to the reporter says, well, there was a red car and there was a yellow car.
You see, he's told the colors. The first one didn't say anything about the color, did he? And he talks about that car coming down the road at 60 miles an hour that hit both of those, the one going in and the one coming out. And then a third person says, well, that car that was coming out of the parking lot was driving too fast. And the one going into the parking lot was really going too slow. And that's why the one that was coming down the road hit both of them. See, he's given extra information. Is it true? Could be. Could be. Here's my point. They all gave different information. But there's no problem with different information. It's just like extra information, isn't it? But what if one of them said there was a purple car and a blue car and a yellow car? That would contradict what was earlier said, wouldn't it? Yeah. As long as you don't tell the color, you've not contradicted. Or as long as you don't even mention one of the cars, you've not contradicted. You've just not given all the information. That's sort of what we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But when we get all of them together, we get the full picture, don't we? What do I mean when I say the full picture? Well, you put jigsaw puzzles together, haven't you? You get this part, then you get this part, and then you get this part, and you get that part. And before you know it, you're getting the full picture, but you have to have all the parts, don't you? Well, in Matthew, you get one part. In Mark, you get another. In Luke, you get another. In John, you get another, maybe. A lot of times, John doesn't even talk about the things that are talked about in the first three. But that's no problem. When he does talk about them, what he says blends in fine. There's no real problem there. But they all fit together to give us the full picture, boys and girls. That's what I mean when I say to you that God knew what He was doing. God sent the Holy Spirit to guide all those men, not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the various other writers of the Bible. And the Bible is there for us to read. The more we read it, the happier we'll be. Have you heard those words somewhere before? The more we read the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the more we read the Bible, the happier we'll be. We'll learn Jesus and how we can change. The more we read the Bible, the happier we'll be. God made us, and God gave us the Bible, and we need what God gave us, don't we? We can't get along without it. Now, I don't mean by that we can't live physically without it. We can live physically. You can live to be an old person. Never read the Bible. But you can't live that full life, that happy life, that satisfying life, the life that God made you to live, without the Bible. Can a fish live out of water? No. You take a fish out of the water and put him out here on the grass, what's going to happen to him? He'll die. He wasn't made to live out of water, was he? You take a human being and you separate him from God. He doesn't sing, he doesn't pray, he doesn't study, he doesn't live for God, he doesn't worship God, he doesn't obey God. Can he live physically? Can he stay alive? Yes. But he's not really living. He's not really happy. He's miserable. And that's why this world has so many miserable people in it. Amen. They've cut themselves off from God. Don't do it, boys and girls. Remember that God is your Maker. Jesus is your Savior. The Bible is your guide. And you've got to have all of those in your life really to live a happy life. Truly happy and fulfilling life.
Ethan's going to lead us in another song. It's the song, Give Me the Bible. I believe it's 501, isn't it, Ethan? All right.
501, Give Me the Bible.
Give me the Bible, God, when it's gleaming, to cheer the wanderer, lone and tempest tossed. No stone can hide and bring its peaceful beaming. Saint Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me.
There are two verses here that I want to deal with just very briefly. Some of you possibly already know them. These verses tell us about the Bible, about God's Word. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What's a lamp doing? What's a light doing? Just what do they do?
A lamp gives you light.
Helps us see the way, doesn't it? Can we say that see the way we ought to walk or the way we ought to live without the Bible? No. It came from God who made us. It shows us what God knows we need. Say that verse with me, boys and girls. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do you believe that? Don't ever stop believing. God's Word is the lamp we need. It gives us the light we need. And then here's another verse. Your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's Word can keep us in the right way of life. Why can it do that? Because God made us and He knows what we need. That's why. Say that verse with me. Your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Both of these come from the 119th Psalm. I've enjoyed the time today. I wish I could have maybe talked a little faster, but I couldn't. Because if I tried to do that, I'd be coughing every breath, I guess, with this congestion that I've developed. But I appreciate your helping me today.
Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken.